So it was the day before our wedding, and Allison's friend sat down with her and said, "Today will be one of your fondest memories. Today may be the happiest day of your life." Well, Allison said to her, "Well, but the wedding is tomorrow." Her friend said, "Exactly." So that was the scene 40 years ago today. A cold, clear day in Tacoma, Washington. I had met Allison 4.5 years earlier. She was 16 at the time. I was obviously smitten with her right away. And obviously, she was not with me. But I could not have had a better partner. Now, I would have never admitted at the time, and realistically, one can never really ever know, but I had no idea of what the years to come would be like. No idea whatsoever. You like to think so, but you really don't. No idea of perhaps the children that may become a part of your life. No idea about where you will go or the places you will live. No idea about the jobs you will hold, the congregations that you will be a part of, the people that you will meet. No idea whatsoever. I reflect on this as I read about the announcement of the birth of Jesus as seen through Joseph. And what Joseph is about to enter into, he would certainly have no idea. Traditionally, during that time, there were three phases to a marriage relationship. The first was the engagement. And this was arranged by the parents. So imagine that for a moment. And I share with you the story of two women who are visiting with one another. They come from different societies and different cultures. One of them said, "How can you ever marry a person without first knowing them?" The other replied, "How can you ever marry a person after knowing them?" Points to be taken on both sides. From that is a period of betrothal, which would last about a year. And the couple would ratify the engagement, kind of look at one another and ask, "Will this work?" It could be broken by either person, but once entered into, it was binding, and it was terminated only by divorce. And then finally, after that period of time, was the marriage ceremony and the consummation of the relationship. But it was during this betrothal period where Joseph learns that Mary is with child. We don't get much more information from Matthew in his gospel. As far as we know, Joseph had learned by this in the way that any person would during that day, where a woman would recognize changes going about in her body and knowing then that she was pregnant. And therefore, with that understanding, Joseph plans to dismiss her quietly. What do we make of the situation? For really, in this story, Joseph is you and Joseph is me. We would struggle with our doubts and our questions, with the uncertainty. Is there a right choice? Is there a right reaction? Or right direction to go? How can we say for Joseph, even with the best intentions, do you do what is simply done traditionally? Do you then move on in your life? We don't know anything about Joseph, about how he grew up, about the situation as he faced it. It is only then, though, that an angel appears in a dream, that Mary would have a son. He would be named Jesus. Matthew's gospel confirms the words of the prophet Isaiah. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. He will be named Emmanuel, God with us. So in the gospel, it is emphasized how there is guidance through the Spirit of God. It is that guidance that directed Joseph and the decisions that he was to make. It is through the promise and the work of the Holy Spirit that he moves forward. When you look at the understanding of the Holy Spirit at the time of Jesus, it was the recognition of God acting. You can look at the creation story. The Spirit moves across the face of the earth and across the waters, and it brings life. It brings life. Through the history of Israel and its people, it is the Holy Spirit that brings revival and renewal and rescue. It is the Holy Spirit that brought God's truth to humanity, taught the prophets what to say, such as the prophet Isaiah, taught the people what to do, such as this man we know as Joseph. Also, we are told that in the birth of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God acts once again, and acts as never before. And now the realization, God is with us. God is among us. Through Jesus, we see God. Through Jesus, we hear God's message. We learn of what we ought to be and who we ought to be. Throughout our scriptures, we realize that God works through fallible people. God works through Joseph, through you, and through I. Having no idea of so many things in life. My son once asked me, "What's it like to be married to Mom?" So I said, "Fine." Then I gave him the silent treatment the rest of the day. Joseph had no idea what would become of his life, what the path would now be. He now enters into this marriage, into this relationship. We don't know what his life was. There is so much that we don't know of one another. I had no idea of my life path 40 years ago. You look at me now and you don't really know much about what it was like. Maybe I allow you a little peek into that life from time to time. But your life path, I don't really know either. We look at one another and we don't realize the complexities and the struggles, the decisions, the hardships, the turmoil, the pain, the doubts, the reasons for who we are today. Just as we know very little about Joseph. What that journey has been like or what that journey will be. But yet, it is now then through Jesus that we seek guidance. That we look upon one another with love, compassion, and mercy. We look upon one another and we are generous and we are humble. For there is so much that we do not know. So how could we look at one another any other way? To realize that God continues to create and that God is active. That our life is full of renewal and rebirth. That life brings change and growth. God is with us. God is with us. To open our eyes, to teach us how to see one another through the eyes of God. Amen.